For everybody here, we say a very good morning. And, you know, I was originally thinking that this morning could be the final sermon from this series on the book of James. However, as I got working on it, and by around Tuesday afternoon, I realized that I really, well, I had too long of a sermon. I had put too much into one sermon. So I thought I would take our text this morning and then make a bit of a donut out of it. That's pretty Canadian, eh? We'll be looking at some of those verses in chapter 5, including the ending of the letter. And then, Lord willing, as Millie said too, next Sunday I will lift out some words from the middle of our section. You know, that's the hole in the donut. And then maybe we'll have some things to say actually about this whole matter of healing and praying for healing. It's an important subject, so I wanted to give it the time that it deserves. So that will be for next Sunday. So instead of one long sermon, we have two shorter ones, which, come to think of it, no one has ever complained about. Anyway, I hope you have benefited from our time in this book of James. I sure know I have. And as I said way back at the beginning, there are some hard things, right, that James says in here. But I was thinking, is there some kind of like an overriding statement we can make as we come close to finishing the study of the book? And like, if you need any kind of a review, by the way, you can always visit the website, generationscc.ca, and just click on the sermons link, and you know, you get the whole batch there. But for kind of a summary statement, I was thinking what James is teaching in the most practical of terms, he is showing us how to care for one another as a church congregation, people who have committed their lives to following Jesus Christ, and how important such a caring community is and will continue to be, you know, as history unfolds before us. I've told a couple of people who've been asking about the church, and I said, well, you know, it's, in one sense, it's kind of like we're small enough to almost be like a house church. It's just that we're in a big house. But recognizing that every good gift, every blessing we receive comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. We have received so many blessings from him, and by faith, we placed our trust in him. We make our religion real by living that faith out in ways that benefit our brothers and sisters in Christ. James wrote originally to some very persecuted Christians. Once they were part of the church in the city of Jerusalem, but now they've been scattered all throughout that area there at the Mediterranean Sea, and they're facing trials of many kinds. Our faith is to produce real action, starting with our own life, right? Dealing with things like, you know, being quick to listen and slow to speak, keeping an eye on that tongue, you know, all those words that James shared with us. What we do with our material possessions, seeking after God's wisdom, and how we share all of that with those who have been called to walk on this very same road that we are on. God has placed us in a family. And these ancient words are so practical for our lives right here in 2021. Now, like you, we've even prayed for it. I've been overwhelmed, haven't you, with what is going on in the world right now? I mean, you can just take your pick. Want to pray for the situation in Afghanistan? How about the people of Haiti? How about the fourth wave? The homes that have been lost in wildfires right here in Canada? Now, knee-deep in a federal election. Boy, lots to pray about. All right, I won't stay in a negative mood for the entire sermon this morning, I promise. But in all honesty, I first heard it said a few years ago. There was a radio pastor and teacher that I used to listen to. I think he's still in ministry. He's getting up there now, but his name is Steve Brown. He had this great voice, Steve Brown. And he said, and I think he was right, because I now have kind of come to believe as well, that humanity has now arrived at the place where we are simply unable to fix the messes we have made. Boy, how's that for being a Debbie Downer? And no offense if your name is Debbie, but it's obvious right? Centuries. We've just been pouring chemicals into the air and into the water. I was watching a TV show a few years back, and they went to Nevada to the testing sites where all these atom bombs were blown up in the 50s and 60s. And you still have to wear all protective gear because of the radiation that's still there. And somewhere during the 1960s, somebody said, hey, do you think this is maybe like not good for the environment that we're just blowing these things up? So then they started blowing them up underground. What have we done? What have we done to our water and everything? Conflicts over our land, all the ideologies in the world, entire people groups being misplaced. $1 trillion of debt here in Canada alone. And I wonder what lucky generation is going to get to pay that back, eh? Now, by all means, do your homework, cast your vote on September 20th, vote whoever you wish. It's Canada. But when the day comes that a person rises up with the promise and the means to fix everything, a person prophesied throughout the scriptures. In fact, I think the world is ripening. It's going to be very ripe for the Antichrist, this man of lawlessness mentioned in the Bible. His coming, it will not only mean the end of the world as we know it, but for us, followers of the Messiah, we will know when that day comes that our redemption is drawing near. When you see the sign said, Jesus, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. I heard a news commentator use this phrase. Now, I don't know. Is this a thing? You younger folks might know. He said, Bolo. Bolo. Like, be on the lookout. Bolo. Well, be on the lookout for the signs of the arrival of such a person. But always keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's returning, and the victory is ours. I was thinking of some words, and actually in 2 Peter, I'll quote it from the King James Version, right, thinking about this kind of stuff. And he said, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, James has been telling us how to be there for each other, come what may, living a godly life toward our Lord and towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And these lessons from James will become more and more important, I think, as the days go by. Now, please take heart. We have a sure hope, a place prepared for us in the kingdom of light. And in the meantime, we also have what I guess you could call a sacred duty to not keep all this good stuff to ourselves. We are a blessed people. Don't forget that. Whatever you might be going through, whatever trial you may be going through right at this very moment. And we are blessed to be a blessing to those around us. All right, we're going to look at these verses. James chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 10. And like I said, verses 10 to 12. And then we'll skip down verses 17 to verse 20. And as Millie said, Lord willing, we'll have that outdoor service next week. So, yeah, praying for good weather as we all sit on those sacred lawn chairs. And, join us if you can. Join us if you can. All right, James chapter 5. First of all, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering. Boy, how many people are being called to do that in the world right now? Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Again, James getting pretty graphic there. Now, I was going to skip down to verse 17, but just quickly, just the very end of verse 16, and we'll mention this more next Sunday, but the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I know Mark has gone off to what he has to take care of today, but you know, he led us in that prayer this morning, and it's important, isn't it? Prayer. It's powerful. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not all that righteous. Well, listen, our righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. And so James takes another example here. He talked about Job. Now he mentions Elijah. Elijah, well, he was a human being, even as we are, right? One of the greatest prophets. No, he was just a person. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. I was just thinking, too, this whole idea of confessing your sins to one another and praying for each other. You know, as long as we keep things in the dark, they have more power. But when we bring them into the light, and so find those one or two people you can confide in and be there for each other. Might save them from death. You might cover over a multitude of sins. Now, let me just add this verse from Romans. I mentioned it before. It's a good one to remember. Romans 15 and verse 4. And as we read it here, it's about people like Job, people like Elijah. Right? We hold up all these great champions of the faith from the Old Testament. Well, always remember this. And as Paul says it to the Romans and to us in Romans 15, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. Now, I said it right off the bat, and even now as I read these verses, I keep coming back to some thoughts about how brothers and sisters in Christ ought to treat each other and care for one another in the church. Verse 10 says we should be examples of patience in the face of suffering, because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I mean, people are going through stuff. In verse 13, we should be men and women of our word. People should be able to trust that we're simply telling the truth. Now, I happen to like watching old movies, right? Turner Classic Movies, and I like those old black and white movies. How many times in the old movies or TV shows, I'm thinking of those dramatic court scenes, right? Someone's on the witness stand. We know they're telling a lie. So does the prosecutor, and so they will say, "I remind you, sir, that you are under oath." And then, of course, the person breaks down, confesses it all, and Perry Mason wins again. But do we have to be put under some kind of an oath, right? Do we got to swear on the Bible or something before people can believe that we're telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, to help us God? No, be the person who can just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep it simple like that. Oh, and never be afraid to admit, by the way, those times when you don't know. You know, somebody asks you a difficult question regarding your faith. I've been learning more and more, you know, rather than try to come up with some brilliant theological answer, right? Like, people find out what I do for a living now, and it's like, they expect me to know everything, right? And so, well, yes, why, yes, I was just studying that the other day, as a matter of fact. And, you know, and you deepen your voice, makes it sound like you know what you're talking about. But I'm learning there's a great freedom that comes from being able to just simply say, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one, but I'll look it up. I'll get back to you. Be real. Be honest. Now, thinking back again, back to this idea of an overriding statement here in the letter of James, he's teaching us how to care for one another in the body of Christ, to look out for each other. And certainly one of those ways of caring for somebody is when we pray for one another. Last week at the prayer meeting, hey, we didn't get rained on too much, right? Just a few little drops, but it was a great evening to be together and pray for one another. You know, when people are sick, when people are struggling, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And it's Christ's righteousness. I'll mention that again. It's Christ's righteousness that we've been clothed with. So that means every single one of us can have a very powerful and effective prayer ministry. You know, as often as you can, whenever the Spirit of God brings a person's name to your mind, bring them before the throne of grace. Bring that name to the Creator in prayer. Bring my name, please. We call that intercession. And wow, do we ever need each other's prayers, eh? Now, as I said, I'll speak more about praying, especially for the sick, Lord willing, next Sunday at the outdoor service. But prayer is powerful. We were not just speaking into the ether there last Wednesday night, or as I said, when Mark prayed for us this morning. We didn't just put it out there to the universe, you know, as people say. No, the God of the universe and everything else there might even be, we just haven't found it yet. He heard us. He hears our prayers. And we don't have to be some kind of a spiritual giant, right? James tells us, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of all time, he was just a flesh and blood human being, just like we are. Now, I will never forget the day God gave me the most humbling lesson about his desire to answer prayer, even the smallest things. It was actually very much a rebuke, but you know, Romans 8 assures us that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Like if you feel condemned, that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, okay? God, like a good parent, corrects us, yes, but he does it in love. And in fact, this was such a gentle rebuke, but I got it loud and clear. Now, several years ago, if you drive down Ira Needles Boulevard in Kitchener and you get down to Highview Road, Highview, there's a little roundabout there. You ever see that church right there at Highview and Ira Needles? It's called Highview Community Church. Well, it used to be called Forest View Bible Church. And actually, Mary and I were involved in starting that. It was a church plant. In fact, we gave up a bunch of Saturdays helping put up walls and do some painting of that place down there. And Mary came up with an idea, and we did this for a couple of years that we were there. We decided to do a neighborhood carnival, and we did it on Labor Day Monday. Just kind of a thing, you know, everybody getting back from their summer holidays, all set to, you know, send the kids off to school. This is all before COVID, of course. And, you know, it's a holiday Monday, so all the school supplies are purchased. And so we just thought, hey, let's just do something for the neighborhood. We won't charge them anything, of course. And we'll just bring out some toys and games. We had somebody in the church that was involved in a farm, so they brought out a couple of chickens and a goat, maybe a hamster or a guinea pig or something, let the kids all see those. And well, anyway, I was involved in a little group, me and two other guys. Two guys and I, we were involved in a group called the Hometown Boys. I know you've probably heard of us, not. Anyway, we put on overalls and one guy played the washboard and we'd do some sort of comedy songs. And then we'd always come up with a couple of country gospel songs as well. But anyway, we decided to have a Hometown Boys reunion tour that day. And so my one friend, Dave, Pastor Dave, he is now living in Iowa. He pastors a church out there. But at the time, he was pastoring in North Bay. So he drove all the way down from North Bay to come, and we were going to do some music out in the parking lot during this carnival. Well, wouldn't you know, this particular Labor Day Monday, it was pouring rain. I mean, just pouring rain, kind of like what we got the other day in some places here in this part of the country. And it's just coming down in buckets. And so we're thinking to ourselves, we're having lunch and thinking, well, all right, this is not going to work like we had hoped. Well, that's all right. You know, we got the church here. We'll put some of the games in the basement, right? We won't bring the goats and the sheep, but maybe guinea pig or two. That'll be good. Kids can come see that. And hey, maybe we'll set up our little group upstairs right in the sanctuary there in the auditorium. And when people come inside, they'll hear us playing and maybe they'll come up and listen to a few of our songs, right? Well, my friend Dave, he said, no, we gotta pray for the Lord to hold off the rain. And my other buddy and I are kind of looking at each other, right? We look out the window, just pouring down rain. And so I was like, well, I said, well, you know, it's been a dry year. You know, there's some farmers here that they need the rain. Oh, they can hold off for a couple hours. I didn't come all the way down from North Bay just to, we're going to pray. So we got together and prayed. Now, of course, my friend, Pastor Dave, he had this passionate prayer. Lord, we want to get you to hold off the rain. I, of course, came up with some very self-righteous, you know, Lord, please help us to not be too disappointed. We know the, you know, all that stuff. And it was just it wasn't a real prayer from my heart. But I didn't have much of a heart left. It was just coming down in buckets. Well, anyway, we get to the church, still pouring rain. Now, I should let you know how this church works here. Let me just take this piece of paper. I'll kind of draw it for you because it's kind of built up now with iron. Iron needles didn't exist back when we were there, but I will just draw a quick. All right, I was a little too quick. Here, as you can see, we had like a down here, down this part of the road. It was kind of like a neighborhood, and over here was a farmer's field. And our church was right on the corner. And so there was a bunch of windows that faced the neighborhood and then a bunch of windows that faced the farmer's field. Okay. So that's kind of the picture that you get there. So people would come down from the neighborhood to the church. Now, we finally convinced our friend Pastor Dave that no, it's going to just keep raining. Come on, let's, you know, we'll still have a good time. You know, the Lord will still be praised, and who knows, people will still get to hear some of our music. So we started setting up outside. Games were all being set up in the basement. Now, we're setting everything up, and all of a sudden, I see like almost like sunlight in the church building, and. Now, I look out to the farmer's fields side of the church, pouring down rain. I glanced over to the neighborhood, and I could see, like, blue sky and some clouds moving. And I said, guys, I think the rain is moving away. And we looked out, and sure enough, even on the farmer's field now, it was starting to move over in the rain. And all of a sudden, we saw people walking down the neighborhood, bringing their kids to the carnival that we ran. And so it was like, well, come on, let's go. So we scrambled, got all our equipment, ran down outside to the parking lot, and we had a great time. Now, here's the thing. At the end of the carnival, probably around 6 o'clock, we're packing everything up, packing up all the chairs and the tables and all that stuff. Now, I told you about my friend Henry who lent me those commentary books. Well, Henry was somewhat younger back then. This is going back, about 30 years. And so Henry had gotten a truck, and we had this truck with a canvas top over it. And so what we were going to do is we were going to load up all these chairs. We borrowed them from another church. And then we were going to just park it in Henry's driveway, and he would just deliver the chairs in the morning, the next day. So I get there, and I'm at the tailgate of the truck, okay? And I lift up the tailgate, and I slam the door shut. Last of the chairs have all been put inside the truck. As soon as I slammed the door of the truck, the tailgate, all of a sudden I feel drip, 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 drip. Oh, Henry, it's starting to rain. Come on, get in the truck. And suddenly it came down pouring rain. Now, one of the members of that little trio, and I'm sad to say, he's no longer a follower of Jesus. I mean, we're still good friends. He's told me I'm the only Christian friend he ever spends tiny time with anymore. We have some very interesting discussions. If he were here with us this morning, right? And because he remembers the story, like that rain stopped when the carnival began at 3 o'clock. That rain started when the carnival finished at 6 and the final stuff was loaded in. Now he would say, come on, you don't really believe that God held off the rain just for you. And to my dying day, I will say, yes, I believe he did. And I believe he was teaching me a lesson on faith that day. I've since wanted to pray, just like my friend, Pastor Dave. Now, by the way, I get it. This little story that I just told you right now, it wouldn't fly very well here in, say, in British Columbia, right? They've needed all kinds of rain the last couple of months. They've been in desperate need of rain. I don't have an answer for everything. That will surprise nobody. My life is not one day of miracles after another. I don't think anybody's really is. As I said, we'll talk more about it next Sunday, because praying for healing certainly causes all kinds of questions too, right? Like, well, why did God answer that person's prayer? Why didn't he answer mine? We'll learn more, hopefully next week, but as a summary statement, just to roll around in your mind here over the next 6 days, God's will must always come first. And his ways are never our ways. But he delights in hearing us. He delights in answering us. But we will sometimes be left absolutely wondering what he's up to. I mean, like a very good parent, God can't just say yes to everything, right? But I believe that there's a takeaway for us in all of this. Now, you'll need to stay tuned next week to hear it. Well, okay, some of you folks will be on vacation and stuff, and here's just a little bit of it. When it comes to experiencing more of, what we could call the manifestations, okay, of God's work in our lives, actually seeing God at work, I just think we would see more if we asked more. Simple as that. James said it, you don't have because you don't ask. So never be too proud to ask. Bring the smallest of things to God. I was thinking of that song that goes back to the 1950s, I think, called He. He still takes the time to hear a child's first prayer. He does. He does. Sainter, sinner, call, and I always find him there. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So knock, the door will be opened. Seek, you will find. Ask, and then leave it all in your Father's kind and all-knowing hands. Don't always look for the spectacular either. When you develop your eyes of faith, when you take the time to notice, you will see God at work everywhere. Which makes me think, maybe our lives really are full of miracles. And when we discover that person who has wandered from the truth, right? James finishes off here in his letter. When we find someone wandering from the truth, a true brother or sister is going to be the one who reaches out. Not to condemn, not to lord it over anybody. Right? Well, I told you this was going to happen. But always to restore, always to bring that person back, helping them turn from the error of their ways. Now, we don't sweep stuff under the carpet, right? When James says love covers over a multitude of sins, but love covers over a multitude of sins. And, you know, where there is love, there must always be truth. Paul said it in Ephesians 4:15. We speak the truth in love. And where there is truth, there is honest confession, confession of sin, and cleansing from God. Love helps people face their sins honestly, helps them deal with them. Now, when it's a private offense, okay, the confession can be kept private, small circle. If the sin is public, Then there may need to be public confession, as painful and difficult as that always is. Now, that's what we call church discipline. But never be somebody who just can't wait to see some really good examples of church discipline in action, right? Like, I know people, they're just like Jonah, sitting up on that mountain. Aha, can't wait for God to smote all these bad people. They're going to get theirs. That's not how he wants us to be, is it? And whenever confession is made, privately or publicly, when there is true repentance, restitution, restoration, that erring brother or sister, the one who has come back, well, they should be able to rest assured that, well, my brothers and sisters in Christ are not going to hold this sin against me anymore. Now, sometimes the consequences remain. You know, it was Billy Graham who said, you can't unscramble eggs, right? Like, you know, what's done is done. But the offense will be remembered no more, certainly by God. It won't be held over their head. And in a church congregation of any size, small or large, there are people in different stages and seasons of their life. Even here this morning, as I look around some of these boxes, is anyone among you in trouble? Asked James in verse 13. Let them pray. Anybody happy? Then sing a song, sing out loud, sing it strong. Never be afraid to let your face show your joy. Somebody who is down, you know, maybe even the reason they picked themselves up to come to church this morning, or in these cases lately, the reason they just hunted down that little email from Diane Wakeham and logged on to a bunch of these little Zoom boxes that look like Hollywood Squares or the Muppet Show, you know. Maybe they just needed to see and receive your smile. You ever thought about that? Sometimes people just want to be around. Hey, that person just seems so, I don't know, they seem to really believe God can do stuff, and I need to believe God can do stuff. And you know, I was sharing Romans 15 and verse 4 earlier about the lessons we can learn from the examples we find in the stories from the Hebrew scriptures. How about a blessing that Paul gives from that section? Okay, so I gave you Romans 15 and verse 4. Let me end off with Romans 15 verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God be with every single one of you.